Hey guys, it's your girl LaTanya Moore here with Real Perspectives. I'm super excited about today's show because we have Mr. Lucario, better known as the bad boy of the dating game. He's a New York City area dating coach. And we're going to talk today about it is your fault that you're single, tips in finding Mr. Right. So Mr. Lucario, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Going on?
I'm doing great, I think, because you're saying that I'm a single girl. So you're saying that it's your fault that you're single. So I think you're talking to me. So right now I'm doing okay. I don't know about later on. So is that fair?
when I say it's your fault you're single, which is my book, it's called It's Your Fault You're Single, Tips on Finding Mr. Right. It's basically a book for women to let women understand that their dating lives are in their own hands. So it's their responsibility to get the type of dating life that they want and, you know, to get what they want to make happen in their dating life. So it's kind of like, you know, it's not necessarily to point the finger and to blame, but it's more so for women to look internally and say, you know, what could I do better, or what am I doing right now that's keeping me from getting what I want? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do, but when you say it's your fault, like, that sounds very much like blame. So you know I can't let you off the hook with that. Because what you're trying to say now is, well, it's not really your fault. You know, we just want you to take a glimpse into your insides and just say, okay, what can I do to find my perfect match?
Right. No, the thing is, it's true, though, because the thing is, you know, it's funny because for men, when a man is single or when a man doesn't have a girl or whatever, he knows it's his fault. Like, he's like, okay, well, it's because I'm not approaching women. It's because I'm not, you know, really putting myself out there. But for women, what happens is that women have been taught, to be like extremely passive. So what happens is that when you're like a little bit too passive, then you sort of take what you can get. And then what happens is that you end up getting, or, you know, interacting with guys that you're not really into, or if you get a guy that you actually like, you end up not knowing what to do to keep him. So it's kind of like that, you know, that type of thing, and then that keeps a woman single. So if a woman wants a boyfriend, or, you know, she wants to date a guy that she likes, she has to understand, like, sort of the things that she should be doing to attract him and also the things that she should be doing to keep him around. You see what I mean?
Great information. One thing I do want to divert, well, it's not even really a diversion, because you mentioned about this whole concept of being passive, and this is what I've noticed. So I've noticed that there are several schools of thought with regard to this particular thought process.
Mm-hmm.
Some women believe, well, you know, guys should approach me. Some women are like, yeah, I don't care, I'm not going to wait. I'm going after what I want. And some women are just like, you know, get out of my way, girl, I want that man. So you got these three different, you know, you got these three different degrees. So you have the passive, you have the assertive, and then you have just the downright aggressive. You know, here we call them thirsty. I don't know what other way to say it. However, there's not that same dynamic, or it's not viewed that same way when it comes to men. So talk with me a little bit about, well, one, do you agree that those three general categories exist when we're talking about women and dating?
Yeah, it definitely does exist. But most of what I notice is that there's a lot more women who sort of use the laid-back approach, where they just wait for the guy to approach, you know. So it's not that many. It's sort of rare where a woman actually – approaches a guy and goes after him. Even if she wants him, she'll just still wait for him to approach. So, you know, my thing is that I always encourage women to approach guys more and encourage women to be a little bit more outspoken when they're, you know, dealing with guys. Because a lot of times for men, you know, they approach and everything like that. But a lot of times for guys are constantly approaching. So sometimes a man might not approach you, even if he's into you, because he's been approaching women, you know, consistently, and he's been getting rejected a lot. So sometimes a man is, you know, tired of getting rejected. So he might see you and think you're attractive, and he's just not really ready to, like, keep going at that moment. So if you actually approached him and just said, hey, how you doing, you know, then that can spark something to make something happen. So always tell women it doesn't make sense to let a man just pass you by, if you see him and you're interested in him, you can also, you know, go up and approach. Because I always say that women have more of an advantage because you have men approaching you, and also you can approach men. Men usually don't get approached by women, so men have to do all the upfront work, you know, all the time. You know what I mean? So, that's how it goes.
No, I agree to a certain extent. Right. What has been created here in the Atlanta metro area? I really believe it's a facade that there's 9 women, you know, to every 1 man, and then there's this other underculture that now takes that to, you know, makes that, you know, I don't know, 1/4 of a man, you know, to every woman. I don't believe that. I don't believe that's true because, you know, I told women, I said, well, why do you care? All you want is one. All you need is one. Mm. Like, why are you worried about if 40,000 men in the Atlanta metro area are unavailable? You only need one.
Right.
You don't need 40,000 men. And so that's why I say that the culture, culturally, it's created this cultural climate of there's a huge demand and an itty-bitty supply.
Right.
And go ahead.
No, I was going to say, well, the thing is, it's never really a small supply. There's a huge supply. That's the thing that, you know, I think people sometimes, you know, they sort of look at, like, statistics, or they sort of hear things from their friends or whatever, or they're just, you know, looking at what the media is telling them. But there's lots of men out there, available men that's, you know, that's ready to meet women, you know. But the thing is, the problem is that the what women are looking for, or what most women are I guess trying to get, they might have their standards sort of like unrealistic. And I've noticed this a lot, where it's like there's a lot of good guys out there, a lot of guys that, you know, that women can date, but what happens is that they're looking for this perfect dude, or they're looking for the upgrade. So there'll be a guy that wants to get with them, and then she's like, well, he's okay. And she's dealing with him for the time being until she finds the other guy who's going to be better than him, so she can switch up on him. So this is why, you know, and this also goes for men too sometimes, but it's like people are always looking for the better thing instead of understanding that, hey, there's something great here right in front of my face. You see what I mean? And then so they miss out on that person because they're consistently looking for that extra, you know, that other thing. And, you know, and it has a lot to do with the way that culture is now, as far as, like, you have, like, this fast-paced thing with, like, you know, online dating, like Tinder and all these other things, where it's like you have so many things available that you're just constantly looking for the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, that you're not really concentrating on what's right in front of you. You know what I mean? So
absolutely.
I think it's kind of like a mind state that you have to get into where you're able to actually recognize when you have something there. You know what I mean? So that's what happens.
Yeah, I agree with that, because what I tell people sometimes is, you know, if you think about relationships in the concept, and I hate to say this, but it's really true, in a concept of sales.
Mm-hmm.
A good salesperson, they're not going to offer you a whole lot of options. They're going to listen.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to figure out exactly what it is that you want and need,
mm-hmm.
what you can afford, what are you ready for right now.
Right.
So they're going to take that upfront time. They're going to invest in you, because if they have what you're looking for, now they know exactly what to offer you. They know how to put in front of you exactly what you need. And I'm not a proponent of being fake, but what am I saying with that? What I'm saying is you have to be able to realize and recognize, as a woman who dates men, I have to be able to realize and recognize that this may not be a good fit for me. You know, the package may look real good. It may be real good, but at the end of the day, it may not be good for me. And I have to have enough confidence in myself to say, well, maybe I don't need to do that. Maybe I don't need to date that person. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, and the thing is, I think that's a good thing in certain in some aspects, but also you don't want to get too, like, I always tell women especially that you don't want to get too picky, but you don't want to settle. So you have to find that sort of like balance. So like you're saying, like, you know, some people might not be good for you, but also what's good is that you have to sort of be open to dating, you know, different people, or open to, you know, receiving, like, you know, interactions with different men, so that you can sort of figure out like what works best for you. And I think a lot of times what I notice what a lot of women do is that they will sort of cut a guy off before anything can sort of develop or anything could sort of happen in certain cases. So they'll look at him, or they'll, you know, like, let's say they'll meet a guy, and then just for the first 5 or 10 minutes, like, one of their girlfriends introduces him to her or whatever, and then she's just like thinking of all this stuff that she thinks is wrong with him, versus like, hey, let me give this guy a chance to see if anything can work out. So I think it has to be a more proactive thing where women are saying, let me be more open to seeing what these guys are about. And then, you know, then actually being realistic about what is it that's not working, instead of like jumping to what's not working immediately. You know what I'm saying? So it has to be
right.
Like more of like a, you got to be open more, because then that's when you actually see what's going down, instead of sort of just like writing people off, you know, immediately. You know what I mean? And I think that's the part that really makes people miss out on having good relationships, because we already have this thing in our mind of what we, you know, what we think we want, or the perfect person for us. But truthfully, what happens is that you're never really going to understand what you like until you experience, until you have an experience. So you have to give yourself the opportunity to have an experience, so that you can really see what you really want and really see what you're really into. Because a lot of times what you think you want might not be what you really want. You understand? And what you really want could be something totally different, but you had to have that experience first to really recognize that. You see what I mean?
I love it. So let me shift for just a second, because I can't let this interview go by without talking
Yeah.
about this. Now, you have been called the bad boy of the dating game. So I need for
Right.
you to talk with our listeners about what does that mean?
Well, basically, the bad boy of the dating game is sort of, it's like a play on, you know, when people say, like, women are into the bad boys, and, you know, they're not into nice guys or whatever. And what the bad boy technically is not, he's not really a bad guy, but the bad boy in you know, juxtaposition to the nice guy, quote-unquote nice guy, is a bad boy is more honest, and a bad boy is more real, which is why women are more attracted to him, because he's more authentic. So he's called a bad boy because he's the opposite of the nice guy. What a nice guy is actually a fake guy. A nice guy is a guy who's going to say what you want to hear. A nice guy is going to, you know, do everything you want him to do just so that you could like him, but he's not being authentic, which is why women sort of they're not really into nice guys. So a lot of people give women flack and say, oh, all you ladies, all y'all want is the bad boys or whatever, and all these nice guys are out here, but those nice guys aren't really nice. They're just pretending to be that way so that women can like them. But the bad boy is actually just the more authentic type of guy. He's the more real guy, so he's more balanced. So the bad boy, he's like a nice dude, but also he has an edge that's actually authentic with him. So I call myself the bad boy of the dating game, because when it comes to even dating and relationships and you know, and dating coaches and dating advice, a lot of dating advice out there that they give people is kind of like, it's not really realistic. It's not really anything that helps people. So a lot of these coaches out here and stuff, you know, they just basically say things because it sounds nice, but they're not saying anything that actually helps, because it's not real. So, you know, I call myself the bad boy of the dating game because I see myself as more of the realistic person. So I talk about things that, you know, really work. You understand? Because even with my books, you know, It's Your Fault You're Single, some of it sounds harsh, or some of it sounds like, wow, it's kind of like, you know, up there. But the thing is that the stuff that I talk about is, you know, what realistically works in the real life. You know what I mean? So I always try to bring it back to like reality and bring it back to honesty. And so that's where sort of like the bad boy thing comes from. And also too, on another level, people like to demonize people who tell the truth. You know what I mean? And we're not used to being told the truth, and people are scared of the truth. So the truth and the honesty is what makes a person might see you as bad, for being honest and being truthful, because we're not used to that. But at the end of the day, the truth and the honesty is what actually gets you what you want, is what's actually authentic, and what actually makes you, it provides you with what you really want. And I think that especially for women, I try to drive that home to women and say, hey, listen, you know, in order for you to get what you really want, you have to sort of look internally within yourself, because a lot of times in society, what we do, especially for women, is we women have been lied to like crazy. Like men especially lie to women like all the time just to, you know, get sex and, you know, take advantage in a situation. You see what I mean? But at the same time, women have been lied to so much that they're not ready for, a lot of women can't actually take brutally honest truth from men, and this is why men end up lying. So it's like, everything that I talk about and everything that I do has to be, you know, grounded in the truth, because the truth is what's really going to make things, you know, progress. So that's kind of like where the whole, you know, bad boy thing comes in, where it's like, it's all about honesty. It's all about being authentic. It's all about, you know, truthfulness and getting people to that point where they are ready to hear the truth and to accept the truth so that they can actually progress in reality. You see what I mean? So that's sort of like the roundabout. Reason.
No, but it's really insightful, because I know that a lot, you know, especially in media, like we talk about this, everybody that's doing shows, you know, this is what we talk about. We talk about the concept of being authentic. And if you look at a lot of the thought leaders that really are real right now, that's what they're saying.
Right.
That's what they're saying. They're saying, look, nobody wants the cookie cutter speaker. They want
right.
people that's gonna be real with them and say, listen, you need to look at you. And
right, exactly.
That's what we need. That's what we need. Like, we need to be in an environment where people can be comfortable being honest. And
right.
When I talk with my clients about things, like, and this isn't dating per se, but I think the same strategy applies. But when I talk to my clients about being honest about their fees, about
right.
the way that they require payment.
Mm-hmm.
And I call it navigating the money conversation. I've had people say, well, you know, I kind of feel bad about asking for money. I say, well, you need to go get
right.
a job.
Exactly.
You know, then that way
exactly.
you don't have to ask for money. You just go in and work, and your check is going to be in your bank account every 2 weeks. But if you're going to be an entrepreneur like the rest of us, you better be ready to grind, and you better say, you know what, my fee is $5,000, and I require $2,500 deposit. I
right,
require
exactly.
another $1,250, you know, and I require this. And if that person says that's out of their budget, that's okay. Bid
right.
them well, and when they get the money, they can
come back
to
right,
speak to you.
Exactly.
And if your fees are still that amount, then they can afford you. I mean, it's
right.
to me, it's very. It's very simple. Now, I have to confess, I'm not necessarily like that in dating.
Right.
Even though it makes so much sense in business success, because you're
right.
honest up front, you can maintain this relationship with that particular potential client because you were honest with them. But I'm not like that in dating. So what I tell you that story to say this. What would you say to a person like me who clearly understands this concept and they're able to operate and move in that and be successful in that whole way of thinking, just not with dating? What are some things that you would say? If I was your client, what would you say to me, LaTanya, what?
Well, basically I would say that, you know, in order for you to really get successful, you know, like that in dating, is that you would have to, that same concept that you apply to that, you know, to business, is saying, hey, this is what I'm about, and this is what I do, and this is how it's going to go. You know, it's the same concept that you bring over to your dating life. So you say, okay, this is what I'm about, this is what I like, this is what I want. And so when you're interacting with people, what's going to happen is there's going to be a good number of people who probably won't be down with, like, exactly what you're about. You know what I mean? But then on the other hand, you're going to find people who are down with exactly what you're about. You feel what I mean? And then when you do find those people, you're going to benefit more than if you would have tried to fit in with those other people who, you understand what I'm saying? So it's kind of like if you say, hey, I charge $5,000 for my services, and then you actually find someone who's like, hey, I want to pay $5,000 for your services. then that's a perfect, you know, a perfect match for you. Versus if you say I charge $5,000 for my services, and then someone's like, oh, but I only have $1,000, and you say, okay, well, let me see if I can work something out, and then now it's kind of like you're pulling yourself back and you're bending over backwards for this person, and you're messing up your business because you want business so bad, you want money so bad that you end up settling. So the same thing happens for dating. You want a person so bad, you want to be with someone so bad that you end up, you know, just settling for anything, and then with that result, you're not really even getting what you want anyway. So what I say is that you have to fully, you know, be honest with yourself and fully say, okay, this is the type of stuff that I want. And then but also at the same time, you have to work on who you are and what you're about in order to get what you want. So for example, let's use the business example again. If I'm charging $5,000, I have to make sure that what I'm putting out there is worth $5,000. You see what I'm saying? And that's another issue that people don't realize is that, okay, if I want this type of person, what is the type of person, or who is the type of person I need to be in order to attract that other type of person? You see what I mean? So it's like if a woman's saying, hey, you know, I want a guy who's, you know, a good guy who has a good head on his shoulders, you know, makes good money, does this, does that. But at the same time, let's say if you're a woman who's like, maybe you're irresponsible, maybe you have an attitude problem, maybe you don't bring anything to the table, why would that guy that you want you? You see what I'm saying? So that's why you have to be sort of like, so that's the other flip side of the coin. It's like you got to say, okay, this is what I want, but also am I the type of person who can attract what the things that I want? You see what I mean? So it's like that type of thing. But at the end of the day, once you're honest with yourself and say, okay, this is what I'm about, this is what I want, this is, I know that I'm able to get this, then you're going to start attracting people who have those same qualities or who are attracted to the type of person you are. And then when you actually meet up with these people and get with these people and interact with these people, then you're going to have a more beneficial relationship versus being in a relationship with people who you feel like you're settling, and then at the end of the day, you're going to sort of resent that situation, and, you know, things aren't going to really progress. Because most people who are there's a lot of people who are in relationships who are just settling, who are, you know, there's people who are married who are miserable. So I always tell people, don't look at, because a lot of people, they compare themselves to other people. They're like, oh, my friend's married, and, you know, my other friend has a girlfriend now, a boyfriend now, and then you're like, oh, and I'm just single or whatever. And the thing is, a lot of times you're comparing yourself to those people, and some of those people are in terrible relationships. Some of those people are in abusive relationships. Some of those people are in relationships where they don't like the other person, and you're comparing yourself to them, but you don't even know that that's really going on in the situation. But a lot of times those people settle, and then you have those rare occasions where people are in really great relationships. But what those people did was those people actually attracted and found people who they really wanted, and those people, you know, are the type of people who complement the type of person that they really are. So it started with them being honest with themselves and saying, this is what I want, this is who I am. And then you attract those people who, you know, complement that situation. You see what I mean?
Yeah, great information, fabulous advice. I love it. So what would be something that you would like our Real Perspective listeners to gain or take away from the fact that it's their fault? No, I'm just kidding. But it's your fault, you're single, and tips on finding Mr. Right.
Yeah, I was basically saying, you know, it's more so about you understanding that you actually have the power and ability to get the type of relationships you want, and I think it's especially a good message for women, where it's like, you know, you have so many men out there who want to get with you. You have so many men who, you know, are interested in you, because women know this all the time, where it's like, you know, men are approaching, men are talking to you. If you go on online dating, there's guys that's going to be, you know, interested in you. But I always say for women, just be a little bit more open to actually meeting and experiencing dating these guys, and don't write guys off too quickly. You know what I mean? And then you start to see that you're going to run into and be, you know, involved in and interact with guys that you really are interested in. But it takes for you to actually take that leap to, you know, actually go out there and make it happen. And on top of that, understand certain things about men that will actually make it easier for you to keep men interested. Because a lot of times on the front end, women can get a guy attracted to them, but then, you know, on the back end, it's like, okay, what happened to him? Where did he go? He just disappeared. I haven't heard from him in a while. And sometimes that has to do with certain things women are doing that might scare men off. You know what I mean? So, and that's the thing about, you know, that's why I say it's your fault you're single, because you also have to know and understand, you know, the best course of action to take, and also certain things you shouldn't be doing in your relationships that might be scaring these guys off. So, you know, it's a combination of women actually going out there and going after what they want, and at the same time understanding what they need to do in order to maintain and keep those relationships going. So, you know, and yeah, that's pretty much it. And, you know, if any ladies want to get my book, It's Your Fault You're Single, you can go to MrLucario.com. That's MrLucario.com. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, listen, Mr. Lucario, I'm sure that we're going to have you back again on our show. There's definitely work to do. But again, thank you so much. I personally appreciate you being here. And I know that our listeners will will definitely be blessed by the information that you have imparted on us today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you for having me.
You're welcome. Well, Real Perspectives, it can't get any realer than that. So this is LaTanya Moore, your host. Hey, until next time, we speak real people with real issues and real solutions from real perspectives.